Okay, thanks. And yeah, let's say a quick prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you can be with us here and bless our time together and kind of give us whatever you would like. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so it looks like it's a little lighter here. Some of my thoughts have been to another set of group. Appreciated, yeah, talking about Job there. My thoughts have been on the rich young ruler for quite some time. There's three different sets of passages about the rich young ruler: Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. For simplicity's sake, if you guys can open up your Bibles to Matthew 19, I'm going to mainly stick into that section and not go into the other ones. But one thing I do think it's important to note, there's basically a handful of people. So the rich young ruler, it says that Jesus loved him. Okay, there's only John the Apostle and Lazarus and Mary and Martha, who it specifically states that Jesus loved. And so far, I haven't come up with a connection between those guys. But I do know that John seen glory, and Lazarus was raised from the dead. So I think this rich young ruler, like with Job, the rich young ruler was a very disciplined man. And I think he was very, the word I'm looking for, maybe a go-getter. The Old Testament states wisdom as being like the ability to accomplish tasks, and I think the rich young ruler, showing that he could grow a lot of wealth and become specified as rich among a very wealthy people, shows that he obviously was diligent, a good decision maker, and that he generally wanted to do what was right, and I think he was probably a bit of a perfectionist as well. But I guess I don't usually, with it being a bit of a smaller group, I wouldn't mind getting real-time responses, not necessarily verbal, but just interaction there. So we're going to read here, and just to be a little bit more personal, we're going to read, but I think before we start with the rich young ruler, if we take the set of verses before, there's another group of Jews. Okay? Then there were brought to him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Okay. So the disciples, how many of you know that good people can get it wrong? Right? The disciples got it wrong. Okay? Ministers can get it wrong. People with good hearts can still get it wrong. Okay? Jesus rebuked them, but he said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Okay, so the one group of Jews that we have little children. Okay? So we're going to look at the contrast between little children and the rich young ruler. Okay? Which Jew are you? And behold, one came and said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Okay, so with Jesus, how many are good? Right? With Jesus, there is one good, and that is God. So the rich young ruler, how many is he trying to make good? Two. He says, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So the rich young ruler is trying to make himself good. He's coming to Jesus and asking, what do I need to do? Okay, he said unto him, why callest thou me good? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God, but if thou art under life. So the rich young ruler saith unto him, which of commandments should I keep? Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Okay. The blessing with Jesus' teaching is it's usually in a way that is like, I'm going to give you enough rope that you can tie yourself up in. Right? Okay. How many of you think he kept all of those since his youth? Right? So let's dissect it. Jesus starts at the worst. Thou shalt not murder. I personally feel like he probably didn't murder anybody. Okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. It doesn't say he was married, so he probably didn't commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. I mean, he was wealthy. You know, to go out and take something that specifically he didn't pay for, probably not. Thou shalt honor, not bear false witness. I don't think he bear false witness, the law where it talks about there's a trial and then you're bearing falsely. I don't think he did that, nor do I think he was a liar. Honor thy father and mother. Probably. I mean, maybe not. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he says all these things. Jesus says all these things. You kept all these things, right? Every man's work shall be tried. So let's take a look at this. Okay, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell all thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Oh, so the rich young ruler comes up. You love your neighbor as yourself, right? I'm looking at you. You're taking pretty good care of you. I mean, you look like you got plenty to eat. You look like you're clothed pretty good. You got a nice chariot, some good horses. You taking good care of you. Why don't you go sell all your possessions and give to those poor neighbors that you claim to love as much as you love you, and then come and follow me. And the rich young ruler is like, whoa, hold up. I don't love them guys like all that. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, how many of you think he's saying it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? I personally believe Jesus, with his figurative speech, is talking about a physical camel, that you can push a physical camel through the needle that your mom used to sew your dresses and your pants. It's not happening, right? It's not, well, can the needle expand and the camel get real small? He's saying, let me let him say it. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Why? Because if a rich man can't enter the kingdom of heaven, Job was rich. He was perfect when he was rich. Abraham was rich, and in fact, it talked about Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. Genesis 13. Isaac was rich, Jacob was rich. David was rich, Solomon was rich, and in fact, the disciples were rich, the Jewish people were rich. They weren't sitting around begging for money. They left their jobs, their stuff, their houses. They're like, if a rich man can't enter the kingdom of heaven, what are we all doing out here? But Jesus beheld them, saying, With men, it is impossible. You're not getting the camel through the eye of a needle. Go try it. It's impossible. It being what? It's not even the camel. It is salvation. With men, salvation is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Right? And it's not easier. He's not saying it's easier for a poor man to enter than a rich man. Because if that was the case, you'd show up in these trailer parks around here and they'd just be filled with a bunch of Christians. Because I actually believe that if the rich man went and sold all his possessions and gave to the poor, he'd have found out he was still coming up short. Because by the law was nothing made perfect but the bringing in of a better hope. With men, it is impossible. And in fact, when you look at the Jewish people among them, so they were coming out and Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle. And what does it say? It's not a bunch of poor people. It's saying they give. Moses had to cut the giving off, right? It was sufficient and too much. All these people weren't poor. So now we're going to look here. We've got little children, and we've got the rich young ruler. Okay? Little children. Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Little children. That's the kingdom of heaven. Rich young ruler. It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle. Hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven. But there's a lot of other Jews, right? You got Job. You got David. You've got John the Baptist. You've got Nicodemus. All these people come have this understanding. But there's another Jew I want to look at. Which Jew was he? Which Jew are you? He came to Christ too. So the rich young ruler came to Christ. The little children were brought to Christ. Paul came to Christ, right? What's Paul's vision? You can stay there in Matthew 19. I want to look at Philippians 3. I mean, if you can keep a finger there, feel free. But if I go to Philippians 3, and to read a few. Which Jew are you? Paul says, we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Let's go on. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh he whereof, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. The rich young ruler saying, all these have I kept from my youth. Paul's saying, oh, you got confidence? I got more. I got more. Right? Why? I'm circumcised on the eighth day. Any of you guys circumcised on the eighth day? The stock of Israel. Any of you guys Israelites or ever been mistaken for a Jew? Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means that I may obtain to the resurrection of the dead. Okay, what was the rich young ruler's question? Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's his vision. Paul's vision. being partakers of his suffering, knowing the power of him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection of the dead, the eternal life. Okay, let's look at a few other verses. I'm going to try to flip there quick. We're going to look at Romans 6. Romans 6, 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants unto God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, eternal, everlasting life. Fruit unto holiness, the end. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Good master, what good thing shall I do? Let's look at Romans 3. Again, the rich young ruler. Good master, what good thing shall I do? Romans 3, 12. Quoting, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. He's quoting the Psalms. Good master, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. What are you saying here? He's not claiming he's not God. He's wondering why he's calling him good when only God is good. Then he goes through the list, and it continues. Now whatsoever the things, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them that are under the law, and every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And what the rich young ruler faced was he faced the fact that he did not love his people as himself, that he came up short, and that he could not physically do it in himself. Let's go to Galatians. Are you with me? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of God and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I'll just look at Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in his sight of God, as it is evident. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Okay. And we also know in Ephesians 2, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. Even the faith to believe in Jesus is a gift of God. And not that of yourself, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so let's run this story out, right? So the rich young ruler. So if you have the rich young ruler, and let's say the disciples are like, yeah, you need to love your neighbor as yourself, you know, then you could come and follow us and be with us. So the rich young ruler goes and sells all of his possessions and gives to the poor, and now he's with Christ. Fast forward. Now we're in the upper room, right? We're in the upper room, the Last Supper. Jesus is there. The disciples are all there. The rich young ruler is up there, just loving everybody as himself. Do you think the disciples actually loved their neighbor as themselves? Anybody remember what happened at the Last Supper? They all bickering. Which one of us is going to be the greatest? So now you got the rich young ruler going, whoa, wait. I mean, what's up in this hypocrisy? Right? Come on. With man, it is impossible. Okay, just one last point here. Looking to finalize, I mean, there's debate on, you know, who wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm not interested in debating it. I believe God wrote the book of Hebrews. So I'm content to just leave it there. So let's take a look here. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect. Okay, what did Jesus say? If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor. But the law made nothing perfect. But guess what? The law did not say, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor. The law didn't say it. The law said, love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich young ruler couldn't do that. And in all seriousness, the disciples couldn't do it either. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Okay, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The idea is the rich young ruler sees his need for a Savior, he goes to Jesus Christ and puts his faith in him. We go to 7:22, he says, by so much was Jesus made the surety of a better testament. It's a better way to God. Okay? 7:25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Okay? That come unto God, seeing that he liveth and ever maketh intercession for us. Okay? Now, look at the little children. Look at the rich young ruler. So let's go back to Matthew 19. Let me just make this point here. If you go to Matthew 19, he is able to save them to the uttermost, seeing that he maketh intercession for them. If you go to Matthew 19, what's it say? Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. Why? Why are they the kingdom of heaven, but the rich young ruler, a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven? I believe this is why. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should lay hands on them. And he is praying for them. Good master, what good thing shall I do? Jesus interceded for the children. Jesus could have interceded for the rich man, and he didn't see it. And he walked away, at least with the wisdom and the understanding and not the hypocrisy of the Jews. And he knew that he couldn't do it. And he wasn't living in hypocrisy. And his idea and his vision to know reality is what helped him produce the riches that also showed him his error, but he could not come off of. Why didn't Jesus go to the rich young ruler and say, liar, hypocrite, your father's the devil? Because he knew he couldn't keep it. How many people run around thinking they're keeping the law? They're not even trying to keep the Mosaic law. They're trying to keep some other law that's in their heads. He can save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, that he liveth with man. It is salvation. With man, it is impossible. You go sell all your possessions, you give them to the poor, you're still going to come up short. The only way to salvation is through the intercession of Yeshua. It's through the intercession of Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. Okay? Which Jew are you?